Hello, everybody. This is Parshas Baal Oischa. And the parsha begins with the mitzvah that Hashem commands Aaron to light the menorah. And Rashi comments right away, what's the connection between the mitzvah of lighting the menorah and the previous week's parsha, which ended with the karbanos, the sacrifices of the Nisim? And Rashi says, because Aaron, he's a medrash, that Aaron, when he saw how all the other tribes, all the other shvatim, had people, had their nasi bring a carbon from the inauguration of the Mishkan and shave it Levi, and he did not have a part in that, Aaron felt bad. He had chalisha sadas. He felt almost slighted. He felt like he's missing out. So Hashem told him, Shalcha, your portion is bigger than theirs. Why? Because you, Aaron, you light the menorah. Now, the Ramban asks, everyone asks, it's interesting, of all things that Aaron does, Aaron brings carbonus all the time, Aaron brings the guitars. Aaron does so many things. Why is it that we pick the menorah as the thing to console Aaron with? And the Ramban explains that has to do with Hanukkah and the future generations. But I saw a beautiful pshat that's explained in Rashi. Rashi kind of just leaves it as is. The menorah is, so to speak, bigger than the sacrifice and the karbanos of the Nesiim. Why is that? What's special about the menorah? So, there's a Gemara in Brachas on the Afhema Beis. Gemara says a story. Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar Chalash, Rabbi Lazar became ill. And Rabbi Yochanan and his rabbi went to go visit him. And he comes to see Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Lazar is sitting in a dark, dark room. So, Rabbi Yochanan does something interesting. Instead of turning on the light, Rabbi Yochanan pulls up his sleeve and he exposes his arm. And the light from his arm, his body literally radiated light, and that lit up the room. And Kabbalah explained, why is it that Rabbi Yochanan's body was able to emit light? But the question is really, if Rabbi Yochanan is somebody who his body is able to emit light, he's so to speak radioactive, then why does he have to expose his arm? His face should be shining. Why does he need to open up his sleeve? So Yaakov Galinsky explains, there's a very simple reason for it. Because his face is exposed to the public. Something that's exposed to the public can never really, so to speak, have the same power as something that's tsanua, something that's hidden, something that's kept private and personal. His arm was hidden. That has light shining out of it. And he'll explain. There's a story once that Rav Shach, in his later years, he was already ill, he was older, and he had a shamash, he had somebody who was in his house, a bucher taking care of him, and he heard Rav Shach once, sitting there, kind of learning Musar, and questioning to himself, what am I coming to Elam Haba with? What am I coming to Elam Haba with? And this bucher asked Rav Shach, and he said, Yeshiva, you're going to come to Elam Haba with the fact that you taught Torah in yeshivas for 70 years, you're a Maisa Nefesh with Torah, you built up all the yeshivas. What do you mean you want to cut the Elam Haba with? She was a nah, it's nothing. He said, Rav Shiva, but you put out so many Sfarim, your Avi Ezri, everyone learns it, your Marbitz Torah, you gave Musar. He said, no. Nah. So the Bacher said, I don't understand, Rebbe. We're not talking about small things, we're talking about big, big things. Why are you saying that's not something which you're relying on to get you into Elam Haba? Rav Shach told him, you ever go onto a bus? He said, yeah, I go onto a bus all the time. Said, so how do you get onto the bus? Because you buy a ticket, you get onto the bus. Shach's like, you ever tried going onto the bus with a ticket that already was used once? It was punched? He said, yeah, it doesn't work. Shach said, that's right. If a guy does a mitzvah, a guy does something big, but he gets honor for it, he gets attention, he gets praised for it, it's like a used ticket. I want to come to Elam Haba, I need something which I never got recognition for. A real mitzvah, which is private, personal, no one else knew about it. It's a pure mitzvah. It was never used, so to speak. I never got reward for it in any sense. Aaron HaKohen is being told, Shalcha gedolim shalahem, your mitzvah of hadlakas ha-menorah is bigger than theirs, because you go into the Kodesh and no one knows. You're lighting the menorah there. It's private. There's no fanfare. There's no crowds. You and Hashem. That mitzvah is gedolim shalahem. It's way bigger than their mitzvah because there's no reward on the side. There's no fanfare. There's no honor. There's no prestige. Everybody say, we all have that moment where We're in bed. It's 11:30 at night. We're already in our pajamas. And we talked to our wife already. We listened to some kind of inane, mind-numbing, you know, clips on YouTube, whatever it may be. And we're tired. We're tired. We're ready to go to bed. And then we realize, oi, I didn't have a ma'ariv. And there's a struggle there. There's a real struggle. You're tired to get out of bed, wash your hands, get dressed, and to spend time davening ma'ariv like a mensch. And there's another thing. No one's going to know if you did it or not. But Rabbi say, the parsha is teaching us that if you do, if you push yourself, and you get out of that bed, and you wash your hands, and you get dressed, and you daven ma'ariv like a mensch, that's going to be your ticket to Olam Haba. That's going to be that mitzvah that no one else knows about, but you did it because you wanted to do something for Hashem. There's no side rewards, and that's going to get us into Olam Haba. The parsha continues, and it says how Hashem tells Moshe, tell the Jewish people to bring a carbon Pesach in the Midbar, and some people come to Moshe and they say, we're tummy, we're contaminated, we touched a dead body. The Gemara and Sukkah on Kafayim and Aleph brings two opinions. How did this happen? Either, says the Gemara, they were those who carried the Ark of Yosef, the Aron of Yosef, so to speak, to carry the bones of Yosef, so they were coming tummy to Yosef's body. Or they were the ones who dealt with Nadav and Avihu, who had died, and they were the ones who took their bodies and buried them. And they said, we can't bring the Karim Pesach, we're tummy. But they had a complaint. Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? And the question is, what's their problem? They're putter. They have a good reason. They're doing the mitzvah. They're carrying Yosef. They're carrying Nadav and Avihu. That's it. You can't bring it. What's their complaint to Hashem? What's Lama Nigara? So Or Gedolya explains. He says like this. You have sometimes, give an example. You know, sometimes you drive on the road, had it before. You're driving to New York, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You pull up to a toll booth, right? You have your Easy Pass, you're all excited, you get into the Easy Pass lane, and for some reason the Easy Pass is not working. The arm's not going up. It says tag not accepted. So your wife looks at you and goes, what's going on? You start to think, and you realize that the credit card that you was on the account is expired, and you switch credit cards. We never updated your account. So you tell your wife, yeah, I guess the card's expired, and that's why it's not working. So your wife asks, why didn't you change it? You go, why didn't I change it? I was busy. And you go back and forth, and you blame each other. Why didn't you change it? What? And you end up, 10 minutes later, you have 15 reasons why it wasn't your fault, 10 reasons why it wasn't her fault. But Rabbi said, the facts remain that you're not getting through that toll booth. Because you don't have enough cash on your Easy Pass to get through the toll booth. Says the Or Gedolya, Einus is a real thing. A person is exempt from doing a mitzvah because he's an Einus. He has a good excuse. He couldn't do it. He wasn't able to do it. But the reality of life is he doesn't get the schar for that mitzvah. And he's missing out. Mordechai says the Megillah, at the end of the Megillah, V'ratzui l'roi v'chav. And he was, so to speak, accepted and wanted by majority of his brothers. So the Gemara tells us because the Sanhedrin kind of demoted Mordechai because he wasn't on the same level of Torah learning that he was before the story of the Megillah happened, before he got appointed to his royal position. And the Taz asks, what do you mean? Mordechai, what's the complaint against Mordechai? He was doing it to save Klal Yisrael. It's often halacha and shulchan aruch, halachas tamat Torah. That if someone's doing it to save Klal Yisrael, he's exempt. Yes, he's exempt from Talmud Torah. Says the Taz, it's true. He is. He's exempt. Mordechai did absolutely nothing wrong. He did the right thing. But the facts remain, he wasn't on the same level of Torah scholarship as he was before. And that's why people kind of went past him on the Sanhedrin. We have to recognize in life, Rabbi Zayt, a lot of times we have excuses. Sometimes they're valid, sometimes they're not so valid, but we're not going there. Let's say they're all valid. They're absolutely valid. But the fact of life remains that if we don't come to chakras during the week, if we don't learn during the week, if we only show up on Shabbos, and Shul Shabbos morning, 10, 20, 30 years later, we're just not going to be in the same place. We're not going to know a lot about Torah because we didn't learn it. Our davening is going to be on the same level as it was 30 years ago because we haven't worked on it. Things don't happen because of excuses. Excuses just help you get out of, so to speak, punishment, but it doesn't get you things. And although they might be valid, sometimes they are, but we have to recognize, we have to daven to Hashem that we shouldn't have these, so to speak, excuses. We should have the ability to keep His mitzvahs and to fulfill them because we don't want to be loma nigar. We don't want to be people who are missing out. And the Chiddush HaRim points out that you find in this parasha something amazing. You have a person who has a valid excuse. The people who carried out the Avihu's body, they were tamei, and that's it. They were off the hook. But they said, no, we don't want to miss out. We recognize what a mitzvah is. We recognize what it means to bring carbon Pesach. And they came and they asked Hashem. They said, we don't want to miss out. They davened. What did Hashem do? Hashem did something amazing. Hashem went and added a brand new mitzvah, so to speak, to the Torah. Something that wasn't seemingly there before. Rashi talks about it. Was Moshe supposed to get it or not? But the point is, these people, through their burning desire to do mitzvahs, were able to create an entirely new parsha in the Torah. Because Hashem said, if a Jew comes to me and says, Hashem, I love you, I want to keep your mitzvahs, I can't do it. I don't have an ability, but I want to. Hashem says, I will change heaven and earth and make a whole new parsha in the Torah to accommodate you. All our einsim, all things that hold us back, should fall away. Hashem should give us the abilities to do mitzvahs, to get reward, and to keep steiging. The parsha tells us that Hashem commands Moshe to make trumpets. It's an interesting thing. Rashi says that aselecha. Says Rashi, "Ata oisu mishtamash behem v'loy acher." You will make these trumpets to call the people, to call the nation together, but only you will use these. And when you die, so to speak, they'll be buried with you, and Yeshua will have to get new ones. And the question is, it's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of making all the utensils of the Beis Hamikdash, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Aron, everything he made, everyone kept using even after his death. Why particularly this vessel, the trumpets that are used to gather the people, why is that something that's, Moshe Rabbeinu dies, his trumpets get buried with him. No one else uses his trumpets. What's the difference? So I saw in the Haggadah of Sefer V'Yigadita, in the introduction, he says an interesting thing. He says, the Torah is teaching us a lesson here. The Chatzaitrus, these trumpets, what their mission was to get the people's attention, to get Klal Yisrael together, to tell them something important. And the reality is, the Torah is telling us that every single generation needs its own Chatzaitzris. The Chatzaitzris that worked, the trumpets that worked in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, won't work for Yeshua. The ones that work for Yeshua won't work for the next generation. Every generation needs to be spoken to, needs to be addressed in its own way. That's the message the Torah is telling us over here. When a person talks to somebody, a person trying to get someone's attention, trying to make a difference, you have to realize each generation, each individual, so to speak, everybody's different. And the way you talk to one person, the way you make an impression on one person, is different on the next. And we have to keep that in mind. We talk to our kids, we talk to them one way. You talk to your spouse, talk to them a different way. You talk to your parents, talk a different way. Chatzaitzris are per, so to speak, it's personal. The parsha continues, and the parsha says how the Jewish people complain. It's not the first time Jews have complained. And they complain. They want meat. They miss the meat. They miss the fish. They miss the onions that they had in Egypt. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he speaks to Hashem. And Hashem tells him, tell them tomorrow there's going to be meat. There's going to be so much meat. They're going to be eating meat for a month until it comes out of their nose. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds in an interesting way. He says, Yemar Moshe, says the Pasuk. Sheish meyos elef ragli ha'omar sh'anoichi bekirboi. There's 600,000 people here. Va'ata amarta, and you say, basar etein lahem va'ochlu chodesh yom. You say, I'm going to give them meat for a month. Says Moshe, ha'tsoino ha'bakar yishakit lahem. If I slaughter all the cattle, umatzalem, and I give it to them. It's called digge hayam yosef lahem umatzalem. I give them all the fish from the sea. Is it going to be enough? So Rashi explains, on a pshat level, that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, just, it's too much. How can you feed for a month meat to, this is around 3 million people, take 600,000 men to 20 and 60, between 2 to 3 million people on average. So Moshe, how is it possible? The Barmanel says, it's not what Moshe is saying. Moshe is not questioning, so to speak, Hashem's ability to give him, to do miracles. Hashem did miracles before, Hashem keeps doing miracles, and no one knows that better than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu isn't saying to Hashem, how are we going to get this done? Where are we going to get all this food from? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying something very different. Says that Barmanel, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hashem, we're talking about people who are complaining about taiva. They're complaining about food. They're complaining about that they want this, they want that. Hashem, we all know when someone complains about food, when someone complains about creature comforts, they're never going to be happy. We can give them all the fish. We can give them all the meat. It's not going to make a difference. It never ends. I remember once I was in Israel. My wife, we were in Kailo there. And, you know, you're on a kind of little budget. You know, eating out is not a thing you do. And then we had some relatives from America came to visit us. And my wife's side. And they took us out to eat. They took us out to a restaurant. It was a nice place. And I was very excited. Yeah, they ordered some big steaks, different things. And, you know, I was very, very excited. This is a big, big slab of meat on the table. And I'm eating it. And it's delicious. And this aunt, she's a real foodie. She goes different places, tries different things. She cuts open the meat, she takes a piece, she chews on it, thinks it's too gamey. Now, I didn't even know what gamey meant at the time, but apparently it means it's too chewy, it's not perfectly balanced. And I remember thinking to myself, I feel bad. You know, me, I'm in seventh heaven. I got a piece of steak, I'm good to go. But for her, it's never going to be good enough. It's too gamey, it's too rare, it's too cooked. She's just going to keep looking all over for that perfect piece of meat. You know, they say a waiter one time went in the restaurant, there's a table of Jewish women sitting around, and he asked them, is there anything okay? You know, that's how people are. We're never happy. It's never enough. We get this, we get that. You're on vacation in Florida. You're seeing ads for Aruba. You're like, ugh, I wish I was in Aruba. Less from Jews around, you know. You're never happy. We're never happy. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Hashem. Hashem, how are we dealing with people who aren't happy? Give them more, it's not going to make a difference. So, how Hashem deals with it, we see in the parasha, but I want to stop for a second, try to understand something. The reality of life is that's how we're made. We have a natural tendency that no matter what we have, we always want more. The Gemara says, Mishi yesh lo mana, roitz a Messiah. A guy has $100, he wants $200. Why is that? Why do we have this insatiable need inside us to constantly want more? Why is that? It's natural, it's human, everyone has it. Why do we have it? So Bali Musa explained that like everything in life, it's a tool. It's something that a person is supposed to use for good. We're supposed to take that desire, that insatiable thirst, and use it for ruchnius. You have a guy, he learns something Gemara, he learns a Mishnah, and he could say, okay, I learned my Mishnah, I learned my block Gemara, I'm good. But no, he's supposed to be sitting there looking at the guy next to him and say, oh, he learned two blot. I want to learn two blot also. He's supposed to be looking on Instagram and seeing, wow, that guy just finished Masechta. I want to finish Masechta as well. I did Daf Yomi, now I want to do the Chazar program, the Chazar four times and you know it by heart. He should never be happy with what he has. Because if a person is happy with what he has, he stops growing. A person is supposed to take that tool and use it for ruchnius. Look in the beginning of the parasha. Aaron HaKohen, he's the Kohen Gadol. He brings every carbon. He does everything. But yet he sees in his seam, do the Chanukah Samzbech, the inauguration Samzbech, and Chol Shadaita. He gets upset. He's hurt. He's missing out. He doesn't have that carbon. He doesn't get to bring. Says the altar from Sabbatkin, Rasmus Yifinkel, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'chayi Olam Nata B'Seichena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted a Chayi Olam inside of us. What does it mean a Chayi Olam was planted inside of us? It's like a tree. A Nata is a language of planting. It applies to trees. You look at a tree, the older it gets, the wider it gets, but also its roots keep going further and further. It wants more and more water. A thing that's alive by nature wants to keep growing. It wants to get further. It wants to get bigger. That's natural. The difference, the key, is that it should be that need, that desire, that thirst of life to keep growing should be for chayei olam. It should be for life that's eternal. We have that thirst that we keep, so to speak, trying to quench it with taiva. It doesn't work. The more we use it for ruchnius, the more we use it for stuff that's actually going to last, that's eternal, the more we're going to be able to build ourselves up. Rabbi Yisrael, we should have a wonderful Shabbos. We should all keep that thirst pumping. We should keep not being happy with what we have in ruchnius. We should keep growing and learning and steiging. We should have a wonderful Shabbos.